Well, it's good morning, and it's lovely to be here. Thank you very much for a warm welcome from our pastor. And I take this opportunity to thank all the elders and the church for inviting me and giving me the privilege to bring God's word at the camp and as well as here in the Sunday morning worship. We pray that the Lord will help us as we consider his word together this morning. If you would kindly turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, is where we have our text. Chapter 6 and verse 4 has already been read and reminded to you, where the Apostle Paul, he says to the church, and particularly addressing the fathers, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So that's the text. Let's bow our heads for a moment in prayer, and then we will look at God's word. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are with us. Already you have blessed us as we commenced our worship, read your word, and sang a few praises through the hymns. Now we pray and ask a particular help from the Spirit of God, even as we come to consider your word and to learn from it. May your Spirit help the preacher as well as the hearers, that we together would be blessed by the preaching and the hearing of your word. And may your name receive all honor and glory. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the past week, we have been studying together about doing good work in detail. Now, that's what the text is all about in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. We must do good to all men, but specially we must do good to the household of faith. Now that is what reaching out is all about, doing good works. And I'm sure the Lord blessed our time together as we heard the word of God. Now this morning again, we are on the same theme, on the same subject, doing good, doing good works. But particularly, the direction here is to the fathers. You can say parents, but fathers have been singled out. Fathers doing good work to the family unit. And that's the subject. Now, this is a spiritual work. All good works that we have been called upon to do are spiritual work. And this is an awesome work that is given to the fathers, to the parents. That is why the title is The Awesome Responsibility of the Fathers. I reminded in my message that good works have been commanded, that has been brought upon us. It is not an option. It's not something you can do it or leave it. But God commands us to do good works. And here, fathers in particularly, been singled out and commanded to do spiritual good to the children. So we all, fathers and mothers, we need to give attention to what the Apostle Paul says here. I'm sure the text is familiar to you. You may even have heard many sermons on this text. But the scripture is always powerful. We must keep hearing God's word. May God help us today. I've been asked not only to address the fathers, but also the children. So we are not going to forget the children this morning. So there will be instruction to the children as well. Now, the first thing that we need to begin with is to ask the question, who is it addressed to? Paul says here in verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Who is it addressed to? It's very clear, the English says fathers. And that's how the Greek word is translated here. Now, this can be extended beyond fathers to embrace parents, and it is used in that way in Hebrews chapter 11 of the parents of Moses. But the father is the symbol of the parental responsibility because he is the lead parent. Now you know that no father can do this work without the help of the wife, the mother. The father and the mother, they are together in this work, in this awesome work. But the reason that the fathers have been singled out is they are to be the head of the family. They are to be the leaders at home. Now, the scripture very clearly teaches that. You can travel back in history and go back to Genesis, the first three chapters. When God created Adam first, and then he created Eve after that. He brought them together as a family unit, to live together as husband and wife, to follow God's commandments. And Adam has been given the responsibility to lead the family. And Eve must cooperate and work with Adam, the husband, and be submissive to him out of love for God, love for him. And they together work together as a family unit. That's exactly what Paul speaks about in Ephesians chapter 5. And Peter speaks about the same thing. So it is a universal teaching in the scripture. In the family, that the husband is the head, and he must lead the family lovingly in obedience to God's word. And the wife must be submissive to the Lord and to the husband, and they must work together in fulfilling the responsibilities that God has given to them. But the father must lead. The father must take the initiative in the family in making all decisions. Of course, in consultation with the wife. Of course, seeking her input and directions in the decisions that are to be made. But he is the leader. He must take the lead. He mustn't sit back and looking for the wife to take directions and give leadership. It's a male leadership that the scripture clearly speaks of in everywhere in the scripture. So it is for good reason. The Apostle Paul, then he exhorts the fathers, that fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Of course, the wife, the mother, is with him in this awesome work. They work together. But the man, the husband, the father must take the lead. Well, we live in the modern society. That's not what is happening. The society is crumbling in everywhere. In the West, it is terrible. And where I come from. And it is the same in the East as well. But Christian parents, all Christians must recognize the responsibility that God has given to parents and particularly to fathers. You must be men, and you must be God's men, and you must take leadership, the spiritual leadership at home, and lovingly you must provide that leadership. And here particularly it is about bringing up children. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now you turn with me, Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 1 to 4.
And I'm sure it is familiar to you. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. Hear, ye children, the instruction of what? Father. The instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. So this is the work that is given to the fathers at home, with the help of the wife, that he must bring up the children. And God holds the fathers accountable in providing instruction, wise counsel, and knowledge to the children. Now that is how the proverb begins. The responsibility of the fathers to bring up the children, giving them mental, physical, and social, and spiritual security. That's your job. And it is an awesome job, and a spiritual work, and a great work. People sometimes interested about doing good works, going somewhere as a missionary, and a pastor serving God's people. But often they forget the awesome work that God has given to them at home. Your mission begins at home. You have a work at home, that you have a great work in bringing up the children at home. And you are to do that, as the Word of God says, in nurturing and admonishing of the Lord, instructing in the Lord. So parents have this responsibility of raising up children in the Lord. But fathers must take the lead. Now, a research tells us that there are four necessary factors which would prevent bringing up children in this way. Number one, if the father failed to discipline. The father fails to discipline. And if you fail to discipline your children, then they will be unruly. They are to be guided, instructed. Rules must be placed. And you must encourage them to follow them. If you fail to discipline, it's going to cause terrible problems. Secondly, mother supervision. The mother has a great responsibility to supervise the children. And thirdly, the mother and father must be affectionate to one another. And fourthly, the family unity, father, mother, and the children. And the research says if you fail in all these four, in fulfilling them, then you are going to have a terrible family. That's what the research says. The father's discipline, the mother's regular, consistent, daily supervision, and the father and mother being affectionate to one another and maintaining that family unity at all cost. And this is essential. This is essential in order to have a healthy children and a healthy family. Now we need to think about it seriously. Do we have these things in place? Do fathers recognize their responsibility? Do you seriously pray and seek God's help in bringing up your children in this way? Are you giving sufficient time to learn from God's word and do these things that God demands from you in nurturing and admonishing your children in the Lord? You must remember, you are to instruct your children in the ways of the Lord. That's what Proverbs teaches about. The memory verse 2. We are not to leave our children in the hands of the state school and expect them to discipline and to bring up our children. The responsibility is not given to the state schools. The responsibility is not placed upon the hands of the Sunday school teachers. The responsibility is not to be passed on to your in-laws. A lot of people do that, so that you both can work and leave the children to grandparents and in-laws or even to maids. Now that would be disastrous. Absolutely disastrous. That's not what the scripture is saying. Fathers, God understands and God knows that you have to work each day. 8 hours job. He knows that. He knows that you are to bring the bacon home. He knows that. But in spite of that, he says, fathers, it is your responsibility to bring up your children and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You need to think seriously. You need to work with your wife in a godly way, discussing and thinking seriously about it. And even while you are working, you remember your children and your wife and pray for them. And as your wife carries out the duties that you have placed upon her hands. The responsibility is in the hands of the fathers. It is not to be passed on to people out there in the society. That is why the society is in a bad shape today. That is why many families are struggling in churches. You may have a name that you are a Christian, but you may not be fulfilling the commands of the Lord. The responsibilities that the Lord has placed upon your hand, it is your job. Well, secondly, we need to consider how not to bring up the children. How not to bring up the children. Because Paul says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up. So he puts the negative first. And he does it with good reasons. And we are going to look at it. So how not to bring up the children? And Paul says, don't provoke your children to anger. That's what it means. Do not provoke your children to wrath. Another word for anger. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21. And Paul repeats the same thing. Do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. So you are not to provoke your children. Another version says don't exasperate your children so that they will lose heart. This verb provoke that is used in Greek translated as provoke is an intense form to make a person angry. That's what it means. It means to create an irritation to anger them. Don't do what angers your children, what exasperates them, what frustrates them, and what embitters them and disheartens them. That's what the apostle is saying. Do not irritate them and provoke them to anger. So you do have a delicate balance here because you have to exercise authority, which is a spiritual authority as a father, and you have to exercise discipline, the spiritual authority and discipline. You have to establish standards for your children, and you have to hold them, all these standards, in balance. Discipline has to be corporal. You spare the rod, you spoil the child. In New Zealand, you can't touch the child. You can't use the rod. The child can pick up the phone and call the social security people. And they will come and arrest you. And you'll be locked up. If you're walking around on the mall, going for shopping, your child misbehaves, as a Christian parent, and even gently, if you punish your child physically, you'll be arrested. That case is, had to face that. That's what the West is about. They don't understand God's word. They don't understand the ways of the Lord. He says, spare the rod and you spoil the child. If you do not discipline, and you are going to put your child in a major difficulty in life. So we are to discipline in a physical way. And that does come into play here. Now, how do you discipline your children with spiritual authority? And times it involves in doing it in a physical way, and yet not to provoke them unto anger. Now, that is not easy, but it's an important thing that you need to consider. You need to be responsible, you need to bring discipline, but yet not to irritate them to anger. If you make them angry, they will become bitter. There's going to be conflict, hostility, and they will not grow up well. Now, let me suggest a number of things and how not to bring up the children, the things that you need to avoid. And being responsible as fathers, husband and wife in bringing up your children. First of all, don't be overprotective. Don't be overprotective. The negatives are very important. Paul says that do not provoke your children to wrath, to anger. Don't be overprotective. Don't fence them in. Parents do that. My father was like that. He wasn't a Christian, by the way. So I grew up in a family that wasn't a Christian. He's an authoritarian. Everybody got to do what he says. So I grew up not being able to think for myself. You'll be punished. It's all the punishment that I can think of. And as a result, you become intimidated, grow up with an inferiority complex, become timid, and not wanting to make decisions ever. But thank God he liberated me through Christ. And a major difference takes place. But those of us who are parents and Christian parents should know not to be overprotective of our children. You must allow them to develop their skills. Let them think. Let them speak. You hear out. Yes, times you need to correct, but don't jump on them. Do it gently. Lead them to think wisely. Do not be overprotective. You need to guide them in with wisdom and wisely, but let them grow, let them develop. A lot of people in the eastern part, in the countries, we make decisions for our children in a very unreasonable way. I met parents, they wanted their children to be either doctors or engineers. And my son was very young. We asked him, what do you want to do in life? Now he said by reading books or watching something that he wanted to work in NASA. I still remember saying to him, Shahan, I don't think that's a good idea. There's no church up there. Find a job in a place where the church is. And that's very important. Well, I said in a humorous way. Well, we allow them to grow. And then he set his heart on computers. He never looked back. And that's what he is good at now. And my daughter is a lawyer. That's what she wanted to do. We never said, no, that's not what you should do. And she is doing brilliant in that field. You encourage them. You guide them. But we did tell them, it doesn't matter what you do, you keep trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And do it for the glory of God. No matter what you do. It doesn't matter if your son turns out to be a plumber. You get paid more in New Zealand. Call out fee is $65. He doesn't have to do anything, just you called. And if he touches it, another 50. He hasn't even found out what the problem is. If he finds out the problem, then you end up already $200 and for that. Then the repair work and everything. They're paid well. There's nothing wrong with it. We need plumbers, right? If you don't have plumbers, you'll be in trouble. We need people who are able to build. My father always wanted to be a businessman. Now, he's so protective, ruthless, I never wanted to do business. But I didn't think that is my gift. But he never encouraged me, never taught me how to do it, so I backed off. I still think that I'm not a good businessman. But not that I did not have gifts or develop skills in other areas. So don't be overprotective. Read them. Notice how they are growing. Guide them. Encourage them in the things that they want to do. And that is very important. Well, secondly, don't show favoritism. Don't make your children, mom, who is your favorite? They ask, don't they? Yeah. Sometimes fathers say, you are my favorite child. The other two are noticing it. Absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. There are examples in the scripture about this. Isaac favored Esau over Jacob. Rebekah favored Jacob over Esau. Now, the sad results are well known to everybody. You must not show favoritism. It's a very bad thing in the family. It'll cause the child to become angry and bitter. If that child is treated less equal than the other child. You never say, why can't you be like your elder sister? Why are you always be like that? Why can't you be like your brother? That is showing favoritism. Children have a different way of growing. Each child is special. Each child needs to be encouraged. They need to hear encouraging words. If the child comes and asks you, Dad, is David special to you? What would you say? I said, no, you are equally special. He has his gifts, you have your gifts. I love you both in the same way. That's what we need to say. Do not show favoritism. All these will provoke them. Failing to properly bring up the children will provoke them, irritate them. They'll become angry. Do not provoke your children to wrath. The third one, you Singaporeans got to listen very carefully. Don't push them to achieve more. That achievement becomes the most important thing in life. Many, many years ago, I've been traveling for 26 years now on mission work, and I fly Singapore Airlines. Most of the time, that's the one because that's the best. Never been disappointed. Sometimes I think, is there any way I can do something to cause them to be upset? You can never. The smile they begin the service from the time you land Singapore, wherever, still keep smiling. I have asked several times, how in the world you do this? Good training. The best airline to fly. I'll keep flying on Singapore Airlines. Now, in one of those trips in the very early stages when I came to your country, I couldn't help noticing these little children, 4, 5, 6, all with eyeglasses. Now, I noticed that more than anything else. Wherever you turn, these are tiny faces with that big glasses. Now, I don't see that in New Zealand. So I had to ask people why these kids, these children, are wearing eyeglasses in this age. And I think one of the pastors told me that because we are under a lot of pressure, we need to work hard, we need to do well, we need to compete with each other. And you need to keep upgrading yourself, each other, otherwise you will fall back behind. So the children, a lot of pressure on the children to study hard and work hard, that has led to having eyeglasses in a very early age. Fascinating. Now, yes, we need to do well. We need to work hard. But no point pushing them. No point insisting that achievement is all that is important. And sometimes you are so unrealistic. So unrealistic. Everybody cannot achieve everything in the same way. None of us can dream about becoming Messi or Ronaldo. Some people are gifted, or Neymar for that matter, playing football, soccer. We would say in our country, everybody can turn out to be an All Black. That's a gift to some people. But each one has a gift. Each one must do well. But no point pushing them and making them to do things so that they keep achieving. And achievement becomes the most important thing in life. And the children cannot survive. It'll irritate them. And they will become angry. Fourthly, do not anger them by discouraging them. Don't discourage them. They are not going to be perfect. So you give no rewards, no word of approval, no honor, no affection. And that will discourage children. That will be very hard on children. They desperately want to be approved. They are looking to you as fathers, the word of approval. So give encouraging words. It may not have done things perfectly, but encourage them. Encourage them. My son is grown up. I'm quite confident he may not listen to this sermon. His handwriting is not very good. And my handwriting is not brilliant either. And especially with all the computers, it is horrible. Because you don't write anymore. If I sign a check over 3 times and the 4th time, that's not my signature. Because we don't write a lot anymore. His handwriting wasn't good. But the teacher in the school was putting such a pressure on him. And he wasn't smiling. So I had to talk to him. And I had to have a chat with the teacher. And the teacher said, now he has an attitude problem. That is why his handwriting is not good. That is terrible. That's not the most important thing. All of us are not going to turn out with a brilliant skill of writing. I said, don't bother about the handwriting. Let him write in the way as long as we can read it. So focus on other things. That's what I said. Now his writing never changed, but he is doing extremely well as a computer engineer. Doing very well. People, children need encouragement. You do not gain anything by tearing them down. You encourage them, give them words of encouragement. Do not anger them. Fifthly, don't anger them by failing to sacrifice for them. Don't anger them by failing to sacrifice for them. You need to sacrifice for them. As a father, they would appreciate it. They would appreciate it. We need to be willing and we need to sacrifice for them. Because of my mission work, I had to travel a lot of places and sometimes I miss one or two birthdays. But I always make it a point to bring back what they ask me to bring, if I can. And you encourage them. Sacrifice for them. Let them know that you are doing it. As a father and mother. Never make the children feel that they are second class in the family. Take them to places where they want to go. Don't ever say that I do not have time for you and I can't be bothered with that. That's not fathers do. Do not anger them by doing that. Then, don't fail to allow them growing up. They need to grow up. Let them make mistakes. Let them make mistakes. You're never perfect. You made a lot of mistakes in life. Let them make mistakes. Let them come out with ridiculous ideas. You don't discourage them. You allow them to grow up. Allow them to grow up. If you want to advise, give you advice gently at the appropriate time. And do not expect perfection. Look for progress, not perfection. It is progress that is needed. Well, another one, do not anger them by neglecting them. If a child is neglected, it will be irritated. Don't neglect them. At times when you have to punish, then what do? Don't hold grudges. Don't fail to show affection. You need to punish, but then the child will come, give a big hug. And the child recognizes the mistake. Show your affection and love. Do not neglect your children. And do not neglect to discipline your children. Another one, an important one, don't ever use bitter words. Do not ever use bitter words. You are violating the Ten Commandments. Using bitter words with anybody is equals murder. Never use bitter words to your children. You need to correct them. You need to criticize them. You don't condemn them. Don't ever use bitter words. Well, so many negatives. Is that important? Because Paul says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. You have a spiritual authority. You need to discipline them. You need to correct them. But there is a possibility of doing it wrong. So he wants us, with much grace in heart, seeking the help of God, kindly but still firmly, carry out this work without causing them to become bitter and angry. That's wrong. Well, the next thing Paul says, bring them up. You saw how not to do it. He says, bring them up. Do not provoke them to wrath, but bring them up. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what he's talking about. Notice verse 4, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is what the King James Version says. Now, the verb here that is used tells us that you need to do everything to help your children to grow up. You need to raise them up. Bring them up, you need to raise them up. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Read the opening verses. How to bring up the children. That you need to bring up the children in the Lord. That's what Paul says. So you need to instruct your children about God, who is the supreme ruler. You need to teach and instruct your children from cradle to love God with all your soul, mind, and strength. You need to instruct your children about obeying God's word. You need to help your children to remember and to memorize God's word. Let them be filled with the word of God. Word of God is the source of authority. And we must use God's word that they all submit to God's word. Bring them up in the Lord. Word of God must be used as a source to do that work. You go to the word to bring up your children. And that's how the Jews did it in the Old Testament. They taught the word of God. Everything, you go to the word. In all your instructions, go to God's word. This is what God's word says. Why we do this way? Because that's what God's word says. Instill upon their minds and their hearts that God is to be obeyed. He must be loved. And we must be followed. Bring them up. Well, he uses two words. Bring them up in the nurture. Old word. The modern word, discipline. As the Greek word means, you must train up your children. See the training? You're sports people. You get trained to play. Hard work. You need to give several hours each day to train your body and every muscle. That's the idea that is here. You need to train them. You need to discipline. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 7, the very word comes, and the old word again, chastening. That involves training, correction. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens, he disciplines. You need to discipline the children. Now, that is not a word many people like today in the society. They always think about the discipline means something negative. Not a word that people like. But it's a good word, important word, essential word. Discipline. We need to have discipline in our lives. We all need discipline in our lives. Otherwise, we'll be chaotic people. Our children need to be disciplined. And it's God's word we use to discipline them. Have a certain pattern. Bring them up in discipline. That'll do good. That'll do good. I think our children always copied the dad and mom. My wife and I, we want to keep things in order. Not super perfect. And when my son and my daughter in the early days rise up early morning, have their breakfast and everything, get ready to go to school, before they get into the car, we go and look at their rooms. You don't even notice whether anybody has slept in that room. It's all neat. Everything in place as though nobody has touched it. From childhood, we taught them. You need to have order in life. Don't throw things here and there. You need to look after your things carefully. Another thing that my daughter or my son will never come into my study or our bedroom without asking us permission. Dad, can I go into your room and get that book? And we did the same thing. We never went into their room and checked anything without asking them. You discipline and you keep the discipline for yourself too. Discipline works. It will work. You know why? God says to discipline. And our God is a loving Father who disciplines His children. There is no discipline that'll be useless. You need to discipline them. You know what? The young children do need discipline. They do need discipline. And that is the only thing that is going to help them to grow up. They don't need just lectures. You need to set certain patterns in their life and help them to do that. And they will do. You know what? I do not think, and when our children grew up, we ever, my wife or myself, had to take the rod. I'm not bragging about that, honestly. Because if you consistently discipline, there are times if they do something, all I have to do, Shahan, don't do it second time. He looks at my eyes, he hears my words, he gets the message. He stops it. Because they understand you mean business. Now, you say that, and smart kid, he goes back and he does something. Same thing again. Then if you say, don't do it, then you end up saying six times. The child knows, you don't mean business. You're not going to do anything about it. He's going to keep doing it. Keep your word. Discipline, a proper discipline is necessary. And that's what he says. You have to bring them up by instilling discipline in their lives. And that discipline will help. One of the things that I really encourages me, when I go to Eastern countries like in India, Sri Lanka, no offense to any Indian brethren, sisters here. I also am Indian origin, okay? So let's bear with one another. And you understand that there's no such a thing as punctuality in their vocabulary. These guys who are pastors will come half an hour after the meeting. Church services will start 1 hour after the original time. I said, I'm not going to allow that. We have a training program for pastors. I wanted them to be punctual. They didn't understand where in the world is coming from, why it is so important. I said, you will not be allowed to come here again if you do not be there on time. I was insistent on that. Now they come 15 minutes early before I am there, on time. And it is helping them tremendously. You achieve a lot if you discipline yourself to be punctual. Redeem the time, says God's word. It's only got 24 hours. You can't make it 25 in a day, but you redeem it. How do you redeem the time and use it for God's glory? By discipline. Be there on time. And my children learn to do that. And they are doing well. Doing well. Time is important. Time is important to the Lord, who says, I am coming and coming quickly. And He will keep His word. I use an illustration, it's a little bit humorous, to the Indian brethren. When God created on the first day, He created all things on that first day, didn't leave any areas for the next day. He completed all well, and He said it's good. He appreciated His own work, and it is good. Our Lord keeps time. Well, it's not just instruction, discipline. There's also instruction, nurture and admonition. That is the second one. The word for admonition is actually, literally it means putting in mind. The modern word you can use, instruction. So you need discipline, you need instruction. Our children need instruction. You teach them the Word of God. You build them in the Word of God. Let them learn the principles of God's Word. Let them have the commandments of God in their heart and mind. Let them think about everything based on the Word of God. You need to instruct them. Instruction, instruction, instruction. You need to give them. You need to give godly instruction. You cannot do that without the Word of God. Parents have a great responsibility. Build yourself in the Word of God and pass it on to your children. They need instruction. Discipline and instruction, without which you can never bring up your children. Well, finally, children. You know, the Apostle Paul, he has something to say to the children too. In verse 1, obey your parents. We are children here. Obey your parents, because they have an awesome duty in their hands. They have a heavy work, a responsible work. You need to help them. You obey them. That's what God's word says. Obey them. It is for your good. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You obey them, you will do well. How do you obey your parents? Three things. Respect them. Respect them. They are your parents. They are not going to hurt you. They are going to do everything for your good. Give them respect. Not there in the modern society. Son calls the father, David, how are you doing today? By his first name. And same with the mother. What a terrible thing it is. The society is becoming. You give them respect. And secondly, willingly receive instructions and counsel from them. Go to them. They love you. Make use of them. Seek their counsel and wisdom from them. Be willing to do that. Finally, submit to them. Obey them. Take their word into your heart and obey them. Abraham was taking his little child, going to sacrifice him before God. The child trusted in the father. The dad will do everything is right. And the dad trusted in God that God will do everything right. You must obey your parents. Obey. Submit and obey. God will bless you. Well, wonderful, isn't it? Good works. Good works, that's the text. We are to do good to one another. We must do good to our family. Fathers, moms, and dads, you have a great work, an amazing work. Do good to your children. Train them up in the ways of the Lord, and they will never forget. They will do well in life. May God bless you all. Let's pray together. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for its directions. Your word is always wise and always right. And your word is always good to our souls. We pray that you would help us, Father, to receive these instructions wisely with all willingness of heart. May you be kind to us. May you be gracious to us. May you guide us, Lord, that we might do that which is right in your eyes for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.